Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Kaya Biz.
Inside your business.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959, and we're about to get inside your business. You know what that means? That allows us to reflect on some of the key themes that actually do influence and impact your business in terms of the dynamics that take place when it comes to company operations. And tonight we are about to do that by getting some perspective around the interesting themes that do take place at the workplace, but also regarding the workplace relationship dynamic, but happening off duty. So we're going to take a look at what happens when essentially you and your colleagues, much like we do during the festive season, decide to go out. Maybe you decide to have a braai, go out for drinks, maybe just hang out at a party, and then an altercation takes place. Because we all essentially know each other from a central point and place of work, what happens should there be a dispute? And it goes back to your employer. What role, responsibility, function, duty, and lines might be drawn in terms of the capacity within which your employer can respond? So tonight we're going to take a look at a case study. It's one that's quite broad and in-depth. It takes a look at how best it is that we need to be mindful of off-duty conduct and whether employers can play any role in either firing, holding people to accountable in the case of an assault. Let's talk about this example because it's very practical for many people at this time of the year. For that, we're joined by Kagiso Lebede, Senior Employee Relations Specialist, a great friend of the show who often joins us on labor-related issues. Kagiso, welcome back to Kaya Biz and thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, Gugu. Thanks a lot for having me and good evening again to your listeners. I hope I'm fairly audible.
100%. We've got you loud and clear. The line and the technical team is technicalities are playing ball with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. I guess first things first, Kagiso, right? Let's actually set the context around this particular case study that we're going to look at because it's one that is practical to this time of the year. Colleagues meeting outside of a work environment, things going wrong, and then assuming that the employer can actually have some realm of accountability or role of responsibility in that dynamic. But talk us through the case study that we're going to discuss.
Gugu, in essence, what transpired in this particular case is an employee was allegedly assaulted by fellow employees at a function that was held after work. And the court specifically goes into this particular instance that the event happened after work. There was no use of company vehicles. Some colleagues had gone home to freshen up and change, and they eventually found themselves at this place where they were gathered at the particular lake. And that is where the alleged assault happened. And as per the version of the employee that was allegedly assaulted, it was because he was called an impimpi. Now, Typically, when we look at such conduct, it's generally accepted that during working hours and while performing your duties at work, as an employee, you are subject to the rules of the workplace. And as a result, an employer can take disciplinary action if you breach any company rules. Now, the complexity here is where this alleged assault took place. And furthermore, the accused employees that were dismissed were charged with dishonesty by not declaring that there was this alleged assault. And they were further charged with insubordination because they allegedly refused to give the company access to their company-issued work phones. So there's a bit of a complexity around why this case was taken on review and why the employer ultimately lost, because the employer was unable to prove the link between the misconduct and the workplace. So what should happen for an employer to be able to take disciplinary action for any conduct that happens outside of the workplace is that you need to be able to display that there is a causal nexus between what happened or the rule that has been breached and the image of the employer. So how do I, as company X, in this instance, Toyota, how do I link what happened off site outside of working hours? How do I link that to my day-to-day operations? And the company tried to say that no, because of the assault, there was an impact on ongoing workplace relationships, but they were unable to present that evidence to prove that there was an impact on the ongoing workplace relations between the individuals concerned.
And isn't that an interesting point, right? Because we all understand that team dynamics shift and change all the time. Sometimes you get along, sometimes you don't. Sometimes it might impact the workflow. But if we can't tangibly measure the influence or impact it has on productivity, does that further blur the lines?
Definitely. Usually our courts rely on what they refer to as a three-pronged test.
Mm-hmm.
Are you damaging the employer's reputation? Are you undermining the trust within the employment relationship? Or are you disrupting workplace dynamics? Now, these are very prescriptive in nature, and that you need to adduce evidence that says, because of this misconduct that happened offsite, this is how the image of the employer has been damaged. Like, I always make reference to a case of Edcon versus Canta Mesa.
Mm-hmm.
And it just always pops up when former Minister Desmond Van Rooyen is appointed into a position of seniority. Ms. Canta Mesa, post former President Jacob Zuma appointing Desmond Van Rooyen as Minister of Finance, went on a Facebook rant, a very expletive-laden, racist Facebook rant, calling former Minister Mr. Desmond Van Rooyen, amongst other words, a monkey and the likes. This was reported to Edcon because they could link her social media conduct to her being employed by Edcon. And Edcon successfully argued that your off-duty conduct on your personal Facebook page ultimately resulted in a damage to our reputation.
Mm.
And as a result, they took disciplinary action and they were able to successfully dismiss and defend the dismissal of Ms. Canta Mesa before the Labour Court. So the issue of the nexus is very prescriptive and it must be on objective facts.
Got you. The three-pronged nexus test. And I think that's an important one, right? Because so many of us can think of other examples. The gentleman who was on an island in Greece and made some racial slurs. Other ladies as well who were commenting about coming to Africa and again experiencing monkeys, as you correctly state.
Correct.
And perhaps coming back to this particular case study, as you've described, this was an assault that took place off duty, but was related to the conduct of work at their place of employment. And as you mentioned earlier, essentially referring to one of the employees as imbimbi or a spy. Talk us through the role and responsibility then of the organization where perhaps they had to overrule the initial decisions that they took, because it does seem as though in this particular case study, the employer actually overstepped their mark in terms of the analysis of the three-pronged test.
Exactly. And what is very important is what should have happened before this unfortunate incident occurred. And I always go to the implementation of the appropriate and applicable policies within the workplace,
mm-hmm.
as well as the training of employees, because there's an obligation on employers to make sure that their employees are adequately trained and ensure that they are aware with the policies and procedures of the company, so that when you do take disciplinary action and where there's an expectation from employees to partake in that disciplinary process, you are not found wanting. Because in this particular case, how Toyota fell short was that it was unable to adduce evidence of witnesses. And this was a incident where people would have witnessed what would have occurred, but the lack of evidence adduced by the employer led to the downfall in their case.
Kagiso,
and by implementing...
If I may just jump in there, just the question on the witnesses, is that a lack of those who were present to actually want to be witnesses and actually share their views on this particular case? Or was it just that, again, the employer didn't have any tangible evidence as none of their seniors were actually there?
Yeah, the lack of evidence from the people that would have witnessed on behalf of the company is what led to the downfall of the case. However, you do then have entities who put in place specific policies that make it a act of misconduct by refusing to participate in a disciplinary process where you are aware, or can it be reasonably assumed that you were aware of the commission of an act of misconduct. So by you refusing to witness, and the company can prove that you were there and you witnessed this particular incident, they can then take disciplinary action against you for insubordination and or failing to act in the best interest of the employer. So the policies and the procedures that you implement are very important. And then the subsequent implementation and training then runs with the whole process.
Mm. So key lesson for employers here is make sure that you have your policies in order. Make sure your employees are aware of the policies that you have in place by training them adequately. But also, at what point should an employer get involved? Because you've mentioned interesting examples, whether it's social media, whether it's a public platform. maybe I could run across the, you know, to the restaurant across the road and dance on a table. Could that still come back to haunt me? In other words, what, in the definition of the realms of the employer, just how far reaching do we need to be mindful of the consequences that they take into account?
So, and that is a very important distinction to make, because I always advise and I say that there's a test of reasonableness that's applied. Mm-hmm. If someone has to go to extraordinary lengths to identify who my employer is and then link my conduct to that of my employer, I can argue that it is an unreasonable nexus to try and draw.
Okay.
Unlike if I'm wearing my employer uniform, uh-huh, and I'm driving my employer-issued motor vehicle, I'm under the influence and I get involved in a motor vehicle accident, video footage leaks, I'm stumbling all over the place, mm-hmm, the company is going to take disciplinary action because their image and their brand has been impugned by my conduct. But if I'm wearing shorts, plain white shirt, I'm drinking whatever it is I'm drinking, and I get into an altercation,
mm-hmm,
if they have to go to extraordinary lengths to draw the link between myself, my conduct, and my employer, mm-hmm, then as an employee, you can always argue that it is an unreasonable nexus to draw. But if it's blatant, plain out there, your LinkedIn profile is public, your Facebook profile is public, I'm senior employee relations specialist at Kaya FM, for example, yeah, and that can be directly drawn to me, then by all means, the company can get away with taking disciplinary action because of your off-duty, after-hours misconduct.
100%. Got you on that one. And I think that's so important for us to know as employees, especially during this time of the year. And maybe that's another aspect that we need to be mindful of, you know, before we close off the conversation, just what it is that employees need to be mindful of. As mentioned, after parties, year-end functions, and maybe even just meeting with a few colleagues, you know, off-site and off-duty, you know, to bear in mind regarding our conduct, and maybe more so, the responsibility we will have to also share feedback or be witnesses to the evidence that might be required by the employer.
I'm absolutely correct. I think one of the first things that that we advise on is understand what is your digital footprint. What is your profile? How does it link to you as an individual? And thereafter, there's something referred to as a front page test. If this was to be leaked and was to appear on the front page of a newspaper, for example, would I be comfortable, mm-hmm, with this kind of content if my employer was to be identified? If I'm not, maybe I should not be posting in this particular manner because I'm exposing myself to risk.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's just to maintain professionalism in whatever it is that you do, on-site, off-site, on social media, wherever it is that you may be, so that you don't find yourself in a situation where you are unnecessarily exposed. But it's more just an issue of reasonableness. How do I carry myself? How do I portray myself? Unfortunately, sometimes we find ourselves in situations where our head gets the better of us, emotions get over of us, there's issues of road rage that come into play, there's a lot of varying issues that come into play. But how do we then manage how that information is to be perceived in the public domain, and how does it link me as an individual to my employer? Because that's where the biggest risk is.
Got you. And I think this is so important, right? I've seen a few colleagues of mine in the media industry find themselves in road rage altercations, and many other examples of individuals who, because it's easy to actually identify your employer, hold you accountable to the role and function you serve, then perhaps, you know, impart some level of concern regarding the realms within which your employer can also respond. So that's why you won't see me throwing money at a club. Not that I do that, but it's just not who I am. So thank you for that, Kagiso. I think really critical, especially as we head into the festive season, for everyone to understand just what to be mindful of. And truth is, if it's not even worth posting, don't do it. But also understand the far-reaching consequence it could have on your employer. And maybe one last question. Have we found that sometimes a lack of foresight into understanding how this might damage the company's reputation, lead to trust or disrupting the business dynamic and operations, that this has also led to career-limiting moves for individuals within those organizations or even their sector at large?
Correct, absolutely. And it's rather unfortunate that it comes up as a result of one not being aware, because also it's not that everybody is going to be knowledgeable on all of the policies and the procedures and the impact that it could have on their career progression. But how it does also more often than not play itself out is through exactly that same career limiting move. inadvertently so, and it does become a bitter pill to swallow, if I can put it like that, because who then do you blame? Mm. Because you are the individual that found yourself in such a situation, and because of your lack of knowledge or whatever we should call it, it is now detrimentally or affected you detrimentally insofar as your career aspirations are concerned. And it's rather difficult, but sometimes it's what life deals with you, and we need to make amends. How do you redeem yourself? Or do you then go and seek alternatives at another employer? Mm. There's various varying options, but the damage has been done and you need to just deal with it, I guess.
100%. Kagiso, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. You always feel us leave us a lot more informed and with a better understanding of not only our responsibilities as employees of organizations, but even the role and function of employers when it comes to monitoring the interactions they have with employees and just the conduct and reputation of the business itself too. Thank you so much, sir. We definitely want to wish you a wonderful festive season, and we can't wait to touch base with you here on Kaya Biz next year. Thank you again.
Thank you very much, Gugu. Likewise to you and your listeners. Thank you.
Kagiso Levete, Senior Employee Relations Specialist, joining us on the show tonight, helping us understand what at times can be regarded as quite a complex theme, but most importantly, taking a look at the theme and a case study of an employer's jurisdiction in the handling of off-duty misconduct.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.